Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Well, I don't know if I was the only one worried about that delay there, but it's the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up. So swing on over there and check that out. You get them on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but there is various content added throughout the week. So you want to continue to check sportstimeradio.com just to see what's being updated. Of course, while you're over there, go ahead and click that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, okay. I'm tired just from doing the intro. We got to take a break now. Let me find some music. Oh, so, all right. Well, Dan, I know you're excited. It's, you know, the finals of the World Baseball Classic. I think it's Team USA against Puerto Rico. Right? Is that what it is? Who's winning tonight? That's what I want to know.
Javi Baez in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I believe they're undefeated, so it wouldn't be a surprise. And I believe they also did beat Team USA earlier on. I think Team USA has one big advantage, though, Dan. I heard that both David Robertson and Nate Jones of the White Sox will be available out of the Team USA bullpen tonight.
Yay.
So they do have that. They do have that going for them. No, they didn't say anything about him. He would be on a different team anyways. So, you know, that's just kind of how that would work out. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what time it starts. I'm guessing it's an 8 o'clock start or whatever. Are you going to partake? Are you going to check it out at all?
I might, but I might forget too. I don't know. I get the purpose of it, but I just couldn't really get all that involved into it. And I'm assuming it's one game, right?
Yes. So yeah, it goes just one game. Winner take all. So that's just how it's gonna work. I don't know. I don't know how else they do it. So I guess that's what they got or whatever works, and we're going at it. I don't know. I was looking for some, if they had any lineups or anything here, but I haven't seen anything yet. I'm not sure like who the, who the starting pitchers are or anything like that. I was hoping for a little more information here, but I'm not having a whole lot of luck finding anything. And it is an 8 o'clock start, though, I can tell you that. So
yeah, I'm kind of hopping over to the app to see what's going on with it tonight. I'd like to get into it, but for whatever reason, I just haven't been able to. And then I think with the fact that they haven't really done, real highlights, and it's just kind of like, hey, here's the game. Do you want to check out highlights? Well, you don't have that option. You have to literally watch the whole game.
Yeah, obviously, the MLB Network has carried the majority, or actually I think all of these games. I believe tonight ESPN Deportes jumps in, so you can find the game there as well. But yeah, you know, I don't enjoy these games. You know, it's just not fun for me. I don't get a, you know, I enjoy, right, you know, I like the idea, but I just can't, you know, I try to get into it and it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's really no point in continuing on with it.
I was stalling, hoping I could find a lineup. You know, I had one more spot to check for starting lineups and it wasn't there. So yeah, we can run away and hide from this. And, you know, I did see an update yesterday. You know, I was joking around with you about picking Didi Gregorius and then him turning around and getting hurt, oddly, in the World Baseball Classic. They're saying now that it looks like he is going to miss a full month of the season. So not a good start for the Yankees and their shortstop.
No, but I mean, I forget who's in their system. Obviously, they're not going to bring Torres up right away. Brian Cashman has came out and said that. And with that,
yeah.
I mean, there's always the option of putting Castro back at short. So I think being on a team that's not destined to lose 100 games, definitely, you know, you're into it, right? And plus you're in the pinstripes.
Yeah, you know, a couple options they have, depending on, of course, you know, how their roster shakes out. I think they still have, were they calling him Ronald Torres? You know, I know he was on the team last year. You know, he may be an option. You mentioned Castro. You know, I'm sure if I can, you know, maybe I can hunt down the Yankees roster while we're chatting here and see who else we're talking about. Yeah, it is a little disappointing that, you know, Gleyber doesn't get the first month there, but I think that was just wishful thinking on anybody thinking they were actually going to bring him up and use him to start. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I think with the Yankees pitching situation, I wouldn't want to go all in with a rookie. I mean, I know you're kind of in the boat where, well, even if you don't think you're going to run the playoffs, you might as well see what the kid has going. But, you know, and I can kind of agree with that too, because you've got Gary Sanchez and you've unloaded most of, I think everyone's gone, right? I just pulled Mr. Fantasy. Teixeira is done and out, isn't he? Hasn't he moved on, or is he still with the team?
Yes. Yeah, the only guys they still have left are Chase Headley, Brett Gardner, and Jacoby Ellsbury as regulars.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not
so
too bad of a lineup, and I think Gardner still has something to, you know, go for, and, you know, you can always move Chase Headley around the field, and he can possibly play first base, too.
Yeah, you know, kind of looking at their lineup, you know, looking at their depth chart, I wouldn't be surprised to see Castro play short for that first month and have Rob Refsnyder, who's been one of their top prospects for a couple years, get the everyday nod at second for a month while, you know, Didi's rehabbing and getting ready to come back. That wouldn't shock me if they went that route. You know, again, like you said, you know, Gleyber's not coming up. You know, it's just, it's not going to happen.
Now,
you know, they don't want to start, you know, they don't want to start the clock on him. And I don't even know, honestly, if he's ready for the majors yet. So,
yeah, well, that was going to be my first question was, has the clock started? Because, you know, that's always a big deal.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he did have a great spring. Looking at his stats here, he did hit 448. So, you know, it wasn't like he was terrible. But, you know, they have some veteran guys. They have Pete Cosma in their system, the former Cardinal. You know, they have enough guys to get by since it is just a month until, you know, we're going to see Didi come back. That's not too bad. And, you know, it's not like he's starting from scratch because he did play in the World Baseball Classic, so he was getting at bats and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not like he just is missing all of spring training. So, but yeah, I just, you know, to me, it's more kind of humorous that I picked him and then the next day he got hurt. It's just like, why does this keep happening to guys? So, you know, that's just, you know, ask Chipper Jones how that worked for him. I think I picked him 3 out of 4 years and every year he missed a chunk of time because he was injured. So yeah, I just like, great.
Yeah, I forgot that was your guy.
Yeah, Chipper was my guy for a long time, and I just, you know, luckily he's still a Hall of Famer, but he would, you know, probably be a top five all-time player if I hadn't picked him. I just destroyed him. So.
Yeah, as I'm over on SpotTrack.com searching Yankees, I didn't realize they're still paying, well, I mean, I realized they're still paying A-Rod $21 million this year, and then they're still on the hook for $5.5 million for Brian McCann.
For who?
Brian McCann.
Oh, they're paying a chunk of that salary?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's, yeah, I guess that's not a, you know, you want to make room for Gary Sanchez, you got to do those kind of things. You know, not like the Yankees can't afford it, but, you know, just kind of how it worked out. But I did see Dan here, Cubs fans will remember Dallas Green. You know, he was, I don't remember if he managed the Cubs. I think he did for just a short period of time, but, you know, he took the Phillies to quite a couple World Series, and, you know, his claim to fame with the Cubs is he made the trade for Ryan Sandberg. He passed away today or yesterday at 82. So. I have to check his managerial stats here, Dan, because now I do not remember if he managed the Cubs. I was under the impression that he did. But I can tell you, Dan, as a player, his WAR was only 2.2. So he wouldn't, none of the sabermetric guys would have liked him, even though he played back in the 60s. So, you know, that WAR is very important, no matter when you played. You know, just another case of a guy who, you know, wasn't a great pitcher. I don't think he ever won more than, what he got here, 7 games in a year. But he turned out to be a really good manager.
Well,
and now I'm going to cry. Pitch. So, yeah, it doesn't look like he managed the Cubs. He must have just been their general manager. You know, he won a world championship with the Phillies in 1980. Managed 4 years there. Managed a year with the Yankees. I don't remember that. 1989. Looks like just a part. And it doesn't look like a full season, but you know how the Yankees go. And then spent 4 years with the Mets. So. But yeah. So he, you know, like I said, he passed away. He was the big architect of the Cubs getting their hands on Ryan Sandberg, which I'm sure the fans will always appreciate. So, now, were you into the Cubs back then when he was hanging around, or were you not following them?
I mean, how old was he?
Well, it would have been what was it, the 8?
Well, I wasn't old enough for that. I mean, I followed them as much as I could have. I don't, my baseball memories really don't start until 87, 88.
Yeah, so I think he was a little before your time then, so.
You know, I've got the baseball cards. I know I started collecting in probably 85. I don't know if that was due to my dad or whatever, but, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
Well, took it a little bit more serious in the 87, 88 season. You know, I think with Bo Jackson and the Bash brothers. You know, as a kid, yeah, you like a team, but you kind of, you're going for, you like all the superstars, you know, that's who they talk about. Plus with Bo Jackson running up the wall, I mean, as much as...
Yeah. All right, well, we won't stick on Dallas Green too long then, since that was before your time, but a player I know you know here, Dan, Barry, it was announced yesterday that Barry Bonds will rejoin the Giants as a special advisor to the CEO. Is it about time he went back to San Francisco after his year kind of absence with to be the Marlins hitting coach?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a year. So I think we had, you know, our good buddy Mark on, who no longer really covers Major League Baseball or the San Francisco Giants. But, you know, he talked about it. He thought that he'd be back eventually. Do you think that was just why do you think they went that route where he kind of went down to Miami and did the liaison type deal where he's kind of helping out with the batting? Do you think that was just to get him introduced back into baseball? Or?
Yeah, you know, you wonder if it was almost like a test year where, you know, you let him go someplace else. Obviously, the Giants didn't have a real need for him as a hitting coach. But, you know, you let him go someplace else and, you know, you see how the fans react to him. Because obviously, you know, you don't want to bring him back in if the reaction would have been too negative. I don't think it ever would have been in San Francisco because, you know, they've always appreciated what he did regardless of the rumors or any of the stuff that kind of swirled around him. So I, you know, I think he's safe there. What they do say here is, you know, his role, he will be an ambassador for the team. He'll help Giants hitting coach Henley Mullins. And as needed, he will also tutor hitters in the minor league system.
This is a bigger role than, say, the Manny job that he had with the Cubs.
So, yeah, it would be nice if he actually does function as something. You know, it's not just the ceremonial, you know, making the appearances a la, you know, you mentioned Manny, a la, you know, Ryan Dempster, and I'm guessing what David Ross will be doing, you know, locally here for the Cubs. I don't, you know. So, obviously, you know, Barry's resume is a little better than theirs when it comes especially to the hitting side. Yeah, could you imagine being some schmuck 18, 19 minor league kid and Barry Bonds comes walking up to you to give you hitting advice? You know, would you even be able to talk?
Yes, sir. No, sir. I think that's all you could say, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, despite the fact of his past, and, you know, I'm surprised that there was no kind of linkage or blame put on him for D. Gordon, all these D's and G's, for his situation down there. So, you know, at least that didn't affect him in any way. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, I thought it was cool a couple seasons back when Ryu came to the Dodgers and watching the 30s, you know, 30 parks, or I forgot what they call the series on MLB Network, but where they visit everyone during preseason. I thought it was a pretty cool thing that, you know, Zach Greinke, Kershaw, Ryu were able to, you know, be able to hang out and get some advice from Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, you know, I always kind of enjoy when the older guys come back and try to help the younger guys. You know, I really hope the younger guys accept that. You know, sometimes they're a little, you know, standoffish or, you know, too big for their britches, however you want to look at it. But, you know, I actually kind of enjoy that.
I mean, maybe it's just from what we see on TV, but for me, I feel like the perception with baseball is that the younger guys are a little bit more apt to take advice from the older guys as opposed to some of these other sports like the NBA or the NFL. Because, well, let's be honest, with the NBA, I mean, the locals were talking about it this afternoon when I was in the car about, you know, LeBron's God complex. You know, the stuff you were talking about yesterday where it always seems to take off more feet when it's me who rests, and, you know, it's,
yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with him specifically, but, you know, I think that's one of the issues like the NBA has, because a guy like LeBron, or even a guy like D. Rose with all the BS we had to listen to here in Chicago, you know, this starts at junior high. So when they're 14 years old, you know, the sometimes the country, the whole, you know, I don't know about the world, but at 14 years old, the whole country's like watching these guys. Whereas in Major League Baseball, yeah, you may have the scouts coming to your high school games, but your name isn't out there until later on, you know, more so when the draft happens, as opposed to, you know, like my wife's nephew. Oh, I remember, you know, seeing coverage of LeBron. Plus, he also lives in Pennsylvania, close to that Ohio border. And, you know, knowing about LeBron when he was in high school.
Yeah, it's a very different animal now when it comes to, you know, how these guys are perceived. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, the media wants to be the first one to break that story. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, well, you know, we got to get out there first. And I mean, I know even now, and this flat out just disgusts me, Dan, but there are publications that actually rate like the best eighth grade basketball players.
Yeah.
You know, and to me that, I mean, that's just a huge joke when, you know, you think about it, because you're talking about kids who are 12 and 13 and, you know, in some cases may not even have hit puberty yet. And, you know, you're trying to rank what kind of player they're going to be. You know, it's like, give me a break. You know, that's just you know, a huge joke. And it drives me nuts when they, you know, they do these kind of things. And it's like, oh God, just shut up and let them, you know, let them be kids. And to be fair, you know, I'm going to put some of the blame on the parents too, because, you know, when, you know, you and I were growing up, more specifically you, because you're a little younger than I am, kids didn't really focus on one sport. You know, you played everything. You know, when it was baseball season, you played baseball. Then there was basketball. You had football. You know, there were the kids who did cross country, you know, or against baseball, there's track, or you wrestled. Now, man, if you're a kid and you show any talent in one sport, that's your job 12 months a year. You know, you don't get to even try to play the other ones anymore. And, you know, because, you know, every parent wants that million-dollar baby so they can stay home and live off them.
Yeah, well, and it's funny you bring that up, because with all the reality TV that goes on these days, there's actually I haven't watched it. It's on Lifetime, I guess. It's called Bringing Up Ballers or something like that. A woman that lives in my area, in my neighborhood or town or whatever you want to call it, who that's pretty much what she's trying to do. And she's doing it early by getting them on TV. So, but there's no guarantees in that. And, you know, that's one of the things I think they talked about back in the day was, you know, Bo Jackson was an athlete. Deion Sanders was an athlete. He wasn't a football player. He wasn't a baseball player. He was an athlete. And even if you go back to the 30 for 30 and watch that on good old Netflix, you watch the Bo Jackson, aside from Bo does everything, you know, Bo knows everything or whatever. He literally did. He would go out there and run track. He'd go out there and beat you in anything. And, you know, he settled down here and we haven't been able to link up with him yet, but it would be cool. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, even Bo says he won't let his kid play football, but that's a whole other topic with, you know, the stuff going on now. But, I mean, I think that's what separates a lot of these guys where, and maybe I don't know enough about Tebow, but just from his build, and I would say he's probably a little bit more of an athlete, being able to jump sports. You know, Colin Kaepernick may have been a bigger athlete. I only dabbled in, you know, his history, but we both know he played baseball and football and was being scouted by the Cubs. Another, you know, guy, Russell Wilson. I think he was drafted by the Rangers.
Yes.
So,
yeah, he may have been drafted by somebody else and then traded Rangers, but yeah, he ended up with Texas. So, you know. Yeah, you know what I mean? Even going a little further back, you know, Frank Thomas was a freshman tight end on that Auburn football team where Bo Jackson was the star.
Yeah.
That would be the big hurt, Frank Thomas, who played for, you know, all those years for the White Sox. So, yeah, you know, there used to be a lot of, you know, dual athletes. I know you mentioned Dion and Bo, and the guy who gets looked over all the time when we talk about this is Brian Jordan, who was a really good safety for the Falcons and then turned into a quality outfielder for the Cardinals and I believe a couple other teams, you know, in Major League Baseball. You know, so, yeah, they are out there. And when, you know, you try to pigeonhole these poor kids, you know, I mean, in some cases, okay, great, it works out and you get a Bryce Harper. But that doesn't happen too often. You know, we don't have Bryce Harper coming down the, you know, coming up to the batters, you know, to the plate every time or, you know, these other kids. I mean, there's only so many LeBron James. And even I believe he played football in high school. So, yeah.
Well, and, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, I'm still waiting for Bryce Harper to be more like Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
I mean, he puts up great numbers.
Well, you know what I mean? I guess
waiting for that fearful guy.
You know, when you bring him up, are you starting to think maybe he was overhyped?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
You know, and to be fair, he is still very young. He has plenty of time to be whatever he wants to be. But, yeah, I mean, the hype on him was just mad crazy.
You know, and I think that's why he still hasn't come out of the shadow of Mike Trout. And that's why the nation, the casual fan knows of Mike Trout, I think, before they know of Bryce Harper, despite that's a clown question and, you know, the hairdos and whatnot. I still think, you know, I mean, their numbers are pretty fairly equivalent, but he still hasn't broken out of that. And you've got to wonder, well, I would say because of the team he's on, but let's face it, the Angels aren't really quote America's team. I think maybe it'd be a little different if he played for the Yankees, but then if he was drafted and came up in the Yankees organization, he may have been overshadowed by all the big names that the team had. So I'm still waiting. I don't know. I mean, Joe Maddon, I don't think was afraid of Bryce Harper when it came to walking him in that one series. I think that was more of a strategy. I don't think that was a fear.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what I mean? When you look at it, I mean, these are things that managers do, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, and when Barry Bonds came up to bat, that was not a strategy. I don't believe that was really the strategy. The strategy was, let's not let this guy hit, because he's most likely going to hit a run. Where when it comes to Bryce Harper, I mean, I think you remember even watching it. John Lackey didn't want to walk him. I think John Lackey really wanted to strike him out.
So, yeah, it was definitely, you know, all strategy. You know, I mean, what Maddon was proving was what we all kind of knew going into that was there was nobody behind Harper to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we waited for the Nationals. You know, I don't think they solved that problem all year. So we'll see if they've got it taken care of now. But, yeah, you know, it's just...
Well, and like you said, before the series came up, you know, you kind of called out Dusty for what it's worth and questioned when is he going to change the lineup or do something to switch things up. And I don't know if it was that series, but I know maybe the last game or shortly thereafter, you kind of switch things up and you're like, what the hell took you so long? I've been talking about this since April and it's the summer. You know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I get it. You know, you're stubborn as a manager and you believe you've got the guys in the right spot, but you know, Ryan Zimmerman is, you know, he's a quality Major League Baseball player. There's no doubt about it. You know, he's battled some injuries, but he's came back. He's on his third different position. He's hanging in there. He's not the guy you want protecting Bryce Harper. You know, there's nobody in their right mind who's going to go after Bryce Harper with Ryan Zimmerman batting behind him. And that's no knock to Ryan Zimmerman. It's just comparing players.
Mm-hmm. When you've got to wonder,
you know, we'll
with their system too, because they took over the Expos scouting system, which was the one that kind of was still in develop or still being used, that drafted Steven Strasburg to begin with. And I know they moved up in the rankings, so that, you know, helped them not receive higher picks. But since then, I mean, their top guy is now a White Sox.
Yeah, who I think the White Sox ended up sending down, but that's no surprise. You know, again, we're looking at, you know, teams that aren't, you know, aren't willing. You know, the new thing now is going to be not starting the clock on those top prospects. So, you know, I think we'll see more and more of them sent down to AAA when they should be starting in the majors. It's just how it's going to go.
But, I mean, at the same token, with the White Sox situation, I mean, I'd rather have the kid getting used to pitching in that schedule. You know, maybe it's not as long as Major League, but knowing that they're going to be, you know, fourth or fifth, you know, kind of battling out for the worst team against the Twins. I don't really have an issue with that. I mean, I did see with Trace Anderson, they extended for 6 years. So, I mean, with Giolito, I don't think the expectation isn't to see him until the 18 season. But Big Jack, I still can't believe we're talking about the 2017 season. I don't know where this all time goes.
Yeah, and, you know, he did struggle when he came up with the Nationals last year. That's what kind of soured them on him. So, you know, it's not going to hurt him to go down and spend, you know, maybe he spends half a year in AAA and has a lot of success and then comes up and tries it at the major league level. Or maybe, you know, you don't see him till September. I mean, either way, he's getting the experience that he needs. You know, you don't need to rush this pitcher along. You know, they're not winning for years to come. You know, same thing with Moncada. You know, he's going to start the year at AAA, even though he probably does belong in the majors. You know, it's no surprise. You know, let him go down there, play every day. He'll probably just build his confidence, putting up great numbers. And, you know, if Todd Frazier can get dealt, they'll move him up and plug him in as the everyday third baseman.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, to be honest, I really don't foresee the White Sox being truly playoff competitive until, what, 2020?
Yeah, you figure it's probably even longer than that. It might be 2020, 2021. You know, it's going to take 4 or 5 years to kind of right this ship. The only thing they may have is if they've hit on these young pitchers and, you know, Carlos Rodon is for real and Carson Fulmer is for real. And, you know, you added Giolito to the mix with Michael Kopech and a Ronaldo Lopez, you could compete a little earlier. But that's a lot to ask out of a young staff. And, you know, maybe if you're smart enough to hold on to Quintana, you know, you get there a little quicker. But if somebody comes in, you know, I mean, it's going to be so tough, Dan. I mean, imagine the Dodgers coming to you and say, hey, we'll give you these six top prospects for Jose Quintana because we need him to win. You're giving up Jose Quintana. I'm sorry. You know.
So, oh, I mean,
you know, I mean,
it would be something to see Puig in a way the next 5 years.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but I mean, you know, if they're dangling Cody Bellinger in your face with, you know, four or five of their other really good prospects, yeah, it's going to be really tough to say no to that. As much as it would be great to have Quintana, you could really pick up the pace on your rebuild by adding all those guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, and one thing, though, you've got to wonder with the Dodgers, if Bellinger would be a guy they'd want to give up with. And I know it's not a real adaptation of what the regular season is going to look like, but Adrian Gonzalez is struggle in the WBC. And, you know, his numbers weren't overly down. You know, he was still part of 155 games or 156 games last year with the 285 RBI, you know, batting average, which I know doesn't mean anything. His on-base percentage was just under 350, but I believe, I'm sorry, Big Jack, I don't like the way Baseball Reference redid their website. It's not as easy as it used to be. So,
yeah, I know.
Before I could just scroll instantly and, oh, there's the contract. There's the contract deal. I don't think he has much longer because I know when the Dodgers took on all those extended contracts from the Boston Red Sox. Yeah, because next year is Gonzalez's last year with the team. Well, we can't say that for sure, but that's his last year of the contract at 35 years old. So you've got to wonder if they'd be entertaining the idea of moving him this year and possibly, you know, getting Bellinger ready for next season with the Dodgers. I mean, he's due to make $21.5 million. The Dodgers have the money, but, you know, like you said, they've got a point to prove and they need to win too. I think it's been far along for them.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, you start looking at these teams, you know, the Dodgers, the Nationals, you know, these are teams that, you know, everybody talked about for the last few years as, you know, they're contenders and they're going to win and all this stuff. And while they've gotten to the playoffs, while the Dodgers continue to get to the playoffs, the Nationals are kind of a every other year type of team, it seems to be. You know, sooner or later, you need that. You at least want one big payoff before, you know, you got to tell your fans, okay, well, we're going to, you know, have to say goodbye to some of these aging veterans. So, you know, you wonder what kind of mode these teams will be in. So, you know, we'll just, you know, it'll be fun to see as the year kind of gets rolling. But, you know, another team, you know, in a very good position to do that would be a team like the Cubs. You know, I mean, we saw Ian Happ have a great spring. We saw Eloy Jimenez have a great spring. There's absolutely no room for these guys on the Cubs major league roster. If you could take a couple of those guys and turn them into Jose Quintana, I think he's a better option at number five than Mike Montgomery is. Nothing against Mike Montgomery. I just think Quintana's a better starting pitcher.
Yeah, and I thought they had somebody else in mind for that fifth spot. Brett Anderson?
You know, they brought in some guys. Brett Anderson is there. They got Eddie Butler from Colorado. You know, they're going to have some guys compete for it, but I thought I saw Montgomery has the inside track right now to getting it. So.
Yeah. Well, and Butler was one of those guys I picked up on the waiver last year. You know, he was kind of one of those guys that I think I'm not an expert on Joe Madden, but he's one of those guys I think that fits Joe Madden's quote system where he can come out of the pen for you as little middle relief or long relief, whichever you want to refer to it as, but also if need be that sixth starter. So you've got to wonder, like you said, with the guys that they brought in, yeah, we'll end up with the five-man rotation, but with the system that Madden's been rolling with this last year, you've got to imagine there's going to be breaks and maybe Jake or John or the Johns may not hit 30 starts this year because of a NBA controversial topic of resting players.
Yeah, you know, you always wonder – you know, what these teams are going to come up with next. You know, I mean, you know, I'm waiting for somebody to shock the world and actually get their pitchers in shape and go with a four-man rotation for the first month of the year because there are a lot of days off into that. So, you know, we'll see if that actually works for a team or two. But, you know, I don't think any general manager has the cojones to try it, because if it doesn't work, it'll cost you your job. So
yeah. Well, I mean, with that being said, though, at the same token, do you think weather has a lot to play into that? I mean, let's be honest. I don't think that would be something the Cubs would do, depending on their schedule and how much let's be honest. We talk about this every single year. The East Coast teams get games snowed out when they're playing a West Coast team to open the series, you know, the season off. It's like, hey, we've got the Reds in the middle of winter and, you know, the end of March. yet they're playing the Dodgers or the Angels or, you know, some team where they could be out west instead of, you know, here out east.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I understand the West Coast team's argument. You know, you don't want to eat up all your home games in April, you know, just because the weather's bad on the East Coast. You know, there's, you know, obviously there's ways to work around it. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, that's obviously why they built in more off days, you know, for these teams. So you can, if you have to, you can plug those makeup games in early. Of course, now with some of the new rules the union has put in, it's difficult to even find time to make up a game because, you know, they'll cry about travel and, you know, it's so weird, you know, the NBA just put in all those new travel rules. I won't be surprised if baseball has them soon. You know, it'll be one of those things where, you know, any team that plays in back-to-back days is going to have, you know, all these travel restrictions. And the sad part about it all is they're all just dumb because they don't realize that this affects the fans. And, you know, the fans, the TV, and the advertisers are the people who pay these guys. So once those three things start to go away, what are you going to do? Could you imagine the fit the players in the union are going to have when they have to take salary cuts if these things start to happen?
Yeah, I forget who actually came out and said that they would they would actually take a cut if the NBA season was down to like 75 games.
Yeah, it was Steve Kerr, so he doesn't count because he's a coach. So.
Oh, I thought it was a player.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, I saw that today. So, but yeah, it's just. I mean, I could just imagine the crying that will go on. You know, I mean, because. You know, baseball, I think itself has a little bit better of a break because, you know, you're expected to rest guys. You know, guys aren't expected to play 162 games. And at this point, you know, if you're playing 150 games, you're basically an iron man. Yeah. So I don't think it would affect them as much. But, you know, these other sports, you know, obviously basketball comes to the forefront. But, you know, hockey's in a little bit of the same spot, but their guys don't really seem to take the days off unless they're hurt. You know, when you drive these people away, it becomes more difficult to bring them back. And they seem to forget that it's not for the players. You're playing a game for the fans.
So, I know you can't change it. Do you think that has anything to do with the guaranteed contract?
You know, I don't think so much as the guaranteed contracts as it is the value of the contracts nowadays. You know, these guys make so much money that they could care less what you or I or, you know, Joe A1 sports writer from the Metropolitan Post of the biggest city in the world thinks. They don't care about anything like that. All they care about is when their paycheck's coming in. You know, did my check get deposited and how much was it for and when can I get a raise? When are you going to pay me more money? You know, even though my team sucked and we finished 35 games out of the playoffs, I want more money. Okay, great. Thanks. You know, now we can't bring anybody else in because we have to give you a raise. So we're going to suck again next year. But the important thing is you got more money.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, just kind of.
Like you're saying, now that I look at it in retrospect, I could see why everyone was kind of upset about the D-Wade contract because it was just a marketing tool.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully he'll save them by opting out. Yeah, you know, hopefully he'll save them by opting out at the end of the year. You know, otherwise, if he's here for 3 years, that's going to turn into quite an albatross for them. But, you know, they were worried about attendance. So they did what they had to do to get attendance. And, you know, they're doing fine. People are showing up to the games, even though the team isn't very good. So, you know, and maybe they're not showing up to the games, but they're selling the tickets, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, you know, and
you know, I mean, I don't
I know that they part of their contract or the CBA was to give them a few more days off the schedule, obviously 162 163 if you tie, if you're the Tampa Bay Rays in the NL or the AL East. But, you know, I think the season gets played over 183 game days as opposed to 170-something. But I still don't understand why I'm the only one who's brought this up. And, you know, I know Rob won't listen to me. Maybe I can get the Players Association. But, you know, one of the things, I get it, the resting, it's not so much the resting, because I think maybe the travel can kick your butt. You know, when you're the Bulls and you play the Heat here in Chicago, and then you turn around the next night at 7 o'clock, you're down in Miami playing the Heat again. That one always kind of confused me a little bit. I don't mind the back-to-backs, but, you know, if you're the Bulls playing here in Chicago and then you go up to Milwaukee, it's not too bad of a deal the next day. But, you know, incorporating, I don't understand why no one's even brought this to attention on incorporating five-game series. You know, putting it over, based over a weekend, yeah. Friday through Monday. You know, like I've said in the past, I think it would be great for the players, fans, and the players' families, because now you've got 5 days to sit in the town. You know, and maybe after that fifth day, you get that, there's, you know, I know it's hard, because especially when it comes to the summer, they'll end up playing, what, you know, 18 to 23 games in a row. But after a five-game series, you know, Tuesday could be a travel day, you know. There's no Tuesday night baseball on any network.
Yeah, or, you know, even four games. You know, there's got to be a way to work it out. You know, I mean, I know you play everybody in your division, what is it, 17 times.
Yeah.
You know, there. I mean, there could be easy ways to do it. I mean, you know, the Cubs and the Brewers are close enough to do home and home, or the Cubs and the Cardinals, you know, teams like that. But, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, there's got to be a better way to work out the travel schedule. You know, who knows? Maybe it's something they're working on that we don't know about. You know, but it's funny because you mentioned the Bulls. You know, they played last night in Toronto. They have to come home tonight and play Detroit. And Toronto's got a back-to-back, too. Obviously, they played the Bulls in Toronto last night, and now they're playing in Miami tonight. So it's just kind of like, those are nice back-to-backs. You're going from Toronto to Chicago and Toronto to Miami. So,
you know, Indianapolis wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah. You know, and that's the weird thing. I mean, all these schedules are spit out by a computer. You know, you got to start wondering if maybe you need a little better computer programmer at this point, because, you know, I mean, it's a big plus for a team like the Heat, who's trying to hang on to a playoff spot. The Raptors are pretty much locked in, luckily, but, you know, that's crappy travel, Toronto to Miami. You know, and then I believe both Miami and Detroit were off yesterday. So, you know, they're coming in fully rested. Detroit was probably in Chicago before the Bulls were, and yet they're playing tonight in Chicago.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I'm trying to pull up the rest of the standings, because we've literally, wow, it's today's Wednesday the 22nd. I think we wrap up, well, not me and you and I, the NBA wraps up, I believe, next week.
Thank God.
And I think the Bulls' last game is on the 30th, which is amazing, because the regular season ends up finishing in April, right before April, yet we don't see the finals till what, June?
Yeah, depending on how long the playoffs stretch out. But, you know, that's because there's a day off between every playoff game.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a little ridiculous. And I'm surprised the King and, you know, Chris Paul, the head of the union, or I don't know, not the head of the union, but their steward. I don't understand that, but whatever. You're in Golden State. I don't see why they can't play Tuesday and Wednesday and then maybe take off a Thursday, but Thursday would probably be the better night to play, because people still go out. But like you said, with the East, what's left down here at the bottom of the barrel, Indiana, well, Atlanta's pretty much, I think they've secured their spot at 37 wins at the fifth place. Indiana's has 36. Milwaukee, 35 and 35, and Miami at 35 and 36. They're battling it out. They're trying to hold on to that spot, like you said, with Detroit sitting right behind them at 34 and 37. I don't foresee the Bulls winning their next stretch of games to kind of put them into that spot. I don't even think it really matters, because if the Bulls were to take on Cleveland, you know, you'd have Love, Kyrie, and LeBron all actually playing. So I don't think the Bulls would have a chance, especially without Wade kind of being their leader. But then even that, Big Jack, I know Wade signed the contract coming in saying, you know, this is Jimmy's team and all that, but I still don't feel like Jimmy is that leader of the team. I don't really know.
No, you know, and it's
developed over the last year.
It's difficult when you've got, you know, Wade's a, you know, won championships and he's a finals MVP. You know, Rajon Rondo has won a championship and he's a big personality. It's difficult for Jimmy to be the leader when you have guys like this on the team, you know, because they're used to the leadership roles. And, you know, whenever they want to, you know, they're going to be able to just kind of assume it. So, you know, that's just kind of how it works out. I mean, Jimmy can't be the true leader because the guys who are surrounding him. But, you know, you mentioned the Bulls, and I wonder, you know, if you're a Bulls fan, which, you know, I would like to see the team do well. You know, I got to tell you, Dan, I would rather have them miss the playoffs this year and take whatever little bit of a higher draft pick they could get than get swept out in the first round by the Cavaliers. It's just not worth it.
No, it's not. You've got to wonder how you feel if you're Miami or Detroit. You know, do you want to be in that round, you know, in that kind of same situation too?
Well, you know, and I laugh because, you know, like I'll hear, you know, stuff on the radio or I get the emails. Like Schomburg Sue sent me an email just lambasting the Bulls last night on how they sucked. You know, they blew a 16-point lead, which, you know, is horrible, and they did play terrible. But, you know, you have to look at it in the greater context. You know, what good does getting the eighth seed again do them? You know, I want them to finish somewhere where maybe they could pick inside the top 10. Draft is supposed to be really deep, and there's supposed to be a lot of quality players. If they can hit on a guy, and, you know, who knows, maybe that second round comes around early enough and they get another guy who can contribute to this team, maybe they're finally going in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, looking at them, I don't know how to feel about Lopez. I like him in there. but, you know, with the younger guys, obviously we won't see Dougie anymore because he's down in Oklahoma. But it's been a change of pace to see Portis and Valentine getting more playing time. And I think, you know, like I said, I didn't want to see this. I really wanted this five-year contract to work out with Jimmy. But, I mean, let's be honest, with the way the Bulls are going, I think it's high time that they trade him and they move on from the Jimmy experiment and try, obviously, you know, like you said, we'd like to see Wade opt out and move on. Maybe stick with Rondo and see what the team can do next year with a younger team. And a guy who supposedly, you know, seemingly was sticking up for the young guys, which is Rondo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you know what I mean? You know, the one thing the team has to do is draft better. You know, you're looking, they're actually getting some contributions from their last three draft picks. You know, Denzel Valentine, it hasn't been bad. Paul Zipser's put in some quality minutes. And, you know, Bobby Portis has done, you know, all right. You know, but you kind of look at some of the other guys that they've, you know, they let go. You know, they drafted, and I'm going to butcher this name, Zurif Nurkov. And they never signed him. He plays in Portland right now. But then here's some names, Dan. Tell me how these guys did in the league. Gary Harris, Cameron Barstow, Tony Snell, Eric Murphy, and Marquise Teague.
I remember Teague.
Yeah, those were five Bulls draft picks from 2014 to 2012, both first and second round. You know you're in trouble when Tony Snell's the best one.
Yeah. Well, and the problem with Tony Snell is not Tony Snell. The problem is everybody else thinking Tony Snell's a three-point shooter. I don't. Yeah, I understand. I understand, Big Jack. Like you said a million times, and we'll never agree with this, the league is all about shoot the three and don't play D. That rhymes. So that's perfect. But
there you go.
Tony Snell was not that guy. He's not that guy. I don't know if he is in Milwaukee, but when he was in Chicago, it seemed like anytime the kid was on the floor, they were throwing him the ball up beyond the arc. He wasn't making it. But if he was inside, you know, 21st, he was making it. Not that I don't think the kid can play. I just don't think he could play the game that everyone thought he should be playing.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, one of those, yeah, you know, one of those things. But, you know, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, how their draft history is when. And, you know, these are picks that, you know, like last year they picked 14th. Portis was a 22nd pick. You know, Gary Harris was at 19. Tony Snell was at 20. You know, these are the kind of places you need to get up a little higher. I want to see a 10 or a single digit in front of these draft picks. And that's what you're going to need for this team to improve. You know, you don't have to completely tank like the 76ers did or the Lakers have done.
Yeah.
You know, you can find quality guys in the top 10 that you can build your team around. You know, and even later, I mean, the Spurs have had extended success in San Antonio picking much later in the draft just because their international scouting is so good. They find these guys who can contribute, you know, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, you know, guys like that overseas. And, you know, you wonder if, you know, why more teams don't do this.
Yeah, well, and I think it makes complete sense now, besides the fact that we believe – I believe Thibodeau ran out of town and not on his own accord, but I could see why Tibbs wanted the deal where he was actually doing the draft. Because, I mean, from what we saw, those guys you named obviously weren't part of his plan because we never saw him them really play.
Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, it's one of those things. You know, you gotta start to wonder, and you gotta start to look. Is this a front office problem now? You know, because obviously they didn't want Tibbs, even though Tibbs had success. They didn't want him. He had to go. Okay, so he's gone, and you got your guy. Well, your guy in the last 2 years hasn't gotten the Bulls in the playoffs. Who are we pointing at the finger at now?
Well, we're not allowed to point to,
you know, is it,
we ran out of guys.
Right, is it your guy's fault? Yeah, is it your guy's fault? Or is it your fault for bringing in your guy and being wrong? So, you know, it's a slippery slope. And, you know, I got a feeling when push turn, you know, comes to shove that John Paxson turns his back and pays the price.
Yeah.
All right, well, the music means that Dan and I are going to end this early edition of Sports Time Radio. As always, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30, unless Dan is off again to do this all over. You know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the content there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page, and please give that a like. We greatly appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I out there on Twitter as well, so hunt us down if you'd like. Again, a big thanks for listening live, and don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.
Hey, Dick, tomorrow, fantasy baseball. We got to talk it. Chris Bryant, why he's going to be the number one pick. SportsTimeRadio.com.